I'm Rob Ferret.
This is Central Time on Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert. This afternoon, the U.S. Senate met to discuss the final rounds of the national budget impasse.
They said no to a resolution passed in the House of Representatives this weekend that would fund the government through December, but would defund the Affordable Care Act.
Leaders in the Senate warned that they would never pass a spending bill that would defund the health care law. And we want to know what you think about this government shutdown, the possibility of it. Who do you blame for the impasse, and how would this affect you personally? Do you feel angry, or do you just feel fatigue when we're talking about all of this? Our number is 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page. Our guest now is Tim Dale, Assistant Professor of Political Science at UW La Crosse. Tim, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Well, today the Senate voted down the resolution the House came up with this weekend to prevent a government shutdown. Both sides now seem pretty prepared to stick to their guns about this. Give us an update. Where are we now?
Well, it's back to the House of Representatives, it looks like, and they only have a matter of hours to pass the Senate bill before we have a government shutdown. The budget needs to pass in order for government to have operating expenses. And so by tying the Affordable Care Act funding and provisions to the budget, it essentially means that the budget vote is the up or down vote for not only whether government will continue, but whether the Affordable Care Act, which is really the politics of it, whether that will go into effect.
And yet the Affordable Care Act can keep on rolling even without this, right?
Well, that's kind of the irony of it, is that there are funding mechanisms in place for that to happen, whether or not this is passed. But there are the delay in it is whether it is put into effect. So the Republicans are going for a more long-term goal of shutting it down for another year. And there's also a tax on medical devices that has been attached to this bill. That is what Republicans are going for. So that's really their mechanisms for trying to stop this thing have been those two things. But you're right, the funding really will continue even if government shuts down.
So it sounds like the GOP strategy is essentially taking it one step at a time, blocking it, and just looking, you know, right at the step ahead instead of far down the road.
Yeah, and actually when the Republicans, who are not necessarily in leadership positions, but the ones kind of controlling the debate in Washington right now, many of them were elected just a few months ago last year on a promise that they will do everything in their power to stop the Affordable Care Act, and they feel like they were elected to office in order to do that. So I think we're seeing kind of that promise coming to be true, and I think for the Republicans, it is try to stop it at all costs.
Now, it seems to me like, to the American people, this probably looks like a game of chicken. Who's going to cave first? How big are the stakes here?
Well, there are stakes that are kind of the short-term and the long-term stakes. So there's the policy argument, which is, of course, about the Affordable Care Act and the government functioning after midnight tonight. But the long-term electoral politics of this, which is really what brings us to the situation, is a debate between the parties about what is good for the country. And even in Republican circles, we saw some of this last week with debates among Republicans about how the future of the party should stake its claim on its successes or failures with stopping Obamacare. So you have members of the Republican Party who want the overall national perception of the party to go up. Their favorability is fairly low right now. And they are the Republicans who are thinking about a national election and wanting to win the White House. But there are other Republicans, either from their own districts or from the constituents that they serve in the Republican Party, who believe that this is the path forward, is to do everything they can to stop Obama and the Democrats' policies, even policies that have already passed through Congress. So I think there are some short-term and even longer-term policy debates, but the electoral debates, I think, is why we're getting so much tension and brinksmanship right now in Congress.
Are there dissenting voices among the Republican Party right now?
Well, there are, and there have been fights in the Republican Party, for example, when the Senator Cruz took to the floor to deliver a very long speech that wasn't quite a filibuster.
21 hours, right?
Yeah, right. Very, very long.
It's pretty long
there
speech.
Were Republicans who were kind of frustrated by that. They're arguing that it wasn't the forum. They saw it more theatrical. Even the Republican leadership in the Senate didn't really appreciate it. But I think that this is where kind of the electoral politics comes in, is that it really isn't a mystery that Cruz is running for president, or at least in the very early stages of making a name for himself. And so I think in the Republican Party, there's the question, from some corners, the argument is that the Republican Party needs to move up in its the public overall national perception of its approval rating for the Republican Party, and another side that says that the Republicans need to stick very close to their guns on how they're going after the president's policies.
Now, the poll I saw was a CNN survey released today showing that more people would blame congressional Republicans than would blame President Obama if the government shuts down. What do you think of that poll?
Well, I think that there are a couple layers of that question. So if the government shuts down, the Republicans who have tied Affordable Care Act funding to this round of voting have made it their mission to make government shut down if the Affordable Care Act is not delayed. So the question, who should be blamed for a government shutdown, when it's an intentional policy, obviously the Republicans should be blamed because it's their intent to do that. But the other layer of it is whether or not the government shutdown would be a bad thing. So the Republicans, when they say they want to shut down the Affordable Care Act at any cost, their argument would be that it is worth the cost of a government shutdown in order to make it so the Affordable Care Act doesn't go into effect. I think that the interesting numbers, it may even be the same poll that you're looking at, show the favorability and unfavorability of the two parties. And this debate has clearly had a big hit on the Republican Party favorability. The Democrats have stayed fairly stable, although it's below 50%. But the Republicans are hovering around 30% for favorability for a party. And I think that's where some Republicans in Washington and outside of Washington are concerned that if those numbers don't move up, and in fact they might move down, that blame for a government shutdown might reflect an even lower set of numbers going forward for the Republicans.
So it sounds like this is a bit of a risky gambit for Republicans. If they're reading the electorate wrong, there could be some significant consequences.
Yeah, it's a really big risk. And the high risk, high reward, I guess, is the way to look at it. Government shutdown is not a small card to play. And what's interesting is something that you mentioned kind of leading into this segment, which is that we're also looking at a debt limit debate that's coming up. And so I think a lot of observers thought the Republicans wouldn't fight the Affordable Care Act fight now, expecting the debt limit debate to be really where they wanted to focus their energy. I think there are some Republicans who would rather have the energy behind their position and really take it to a debt limit fight. It's going to be interesting to see how politically the Republican Party holds up if government ends up shutting down, and we're looking at a government shutdown that is continuing up until we have a debt limit debate. But I think that remains to be seen, really, what happens within the Republican Party, particularly in the House of Representatives.
So we've got this debt limit debate coming up. I think that's in mid-October. And we also have the stock market, which is already dipping and acting a little out of sorts already based on the threat of a government shutdown. Are we, I don't know, playing with dynamite here when we play with this government shutdown?
Well, it looks like it. And I think your last guess, the last question he responded to was whether the government shutdown was going to happen. And he correctly said that we sometimes see these going to the last minute before there's a compromise. In fact, I predicted at the end of last week that there was going to be very low percent chance of a government shutdown, because I've seen this kind of as a brinksmanship who can play chicken for the longest. But I think that both sides are very serious about their positions, and I think it's more than just playing politics. I think both sides see this as drawing a line in the sand, where this really is the argument about what Congress's role is, particularly the House of Representatives, when it comes to spending, and what has been, to this point, successful legislation with the Affordable Care Act. We have a debate here even about what the powers of Congress should be and where it is that Congress should step in and stop something that at least some members of Congress believe they were elected there to stop.
So, Tim, let's say that no agreement is reached. The clock ticks down to midnight. What happens then? What stops?
Well, the government services that all depend on the budget stop. So there are a whole range of payments and funding that come from government programs that would stop. And you may need to ask someone who's an expert in federal budgets kind of what is the necessary things that have to stop and what continues. There are emergency funds set up and funds that are already in the pipeline that would mean that all the necessary federal services continue, that people still get paid. But there's actually question about what would stop and what wouldn't stop. So there are things that Obama can do kind of from an executive level, moving money around. But really, the truth is that the longer a government shutdown goes, the more and more people will notice that federal services are ending.
Well, let's see if we can get in a quick call before we go to news. Mike is next in Madison. Hi, Mike.
Yeah, good afternoon. I would personally like to, I would like to see the government shut down. I would love it. And I would blame both sides. Primarily, I'd say 80% on the Republicans, but I definitely blame both sides. And currently, my government doesn't do anything for me at all. Zero. I mean, I collect no government checks. I get no VA care. You know, basically the only thing I am is the butt of the joke, which is being a free American. And our Congress does nothing but make me look a fool internationally. They just make us look bad. And unfortunately, there's nothing you can do for these guys. You can't penalize them. You can't threaten them with losing their job. You can't threaten them with taking their money away. You can't even threaten to slap them in the face, which is what they all deserve.
So,
really,
Mike, why do you want the government? Why
do
you want the government to shut down?
Well,
because they're
like
not serving you,
like,
and you just want them out of there
for
a while?
I'm not dependent upon the government. I'm completely independent. The government could shut down tomorrow. It won't affect me.
Doesn't happen.
I'm personally I'm a gun owner, so if it came down to it, I could go. I'm a hunter, so I could feed myself.
All right. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate that.
Yeah.
Let's get our caller in here before the news, our guest, so he can respond. Tim, we've got about 30, 40 seconds here. What do you think about that perspective from Mike? He says the government doesn't do anything for him, so, you know, why not just shut it down?
Well, I think the caller reflects the overall dissatisfaction with government. I mean, I would remind the caller that if you drive on a federal highway, you're enjoying government subsidy. If you travel by airplane, you're enjoying the FAA making sure that our planes are landing on time. I think, and safely. So I think that there are many features of the government that all of us kind of take for granted. But I think the caller does indicate a dissatisfaction, and it will be interesting to see what the political fallout will be if something like this happens, because I think the caller may be in the minority of Americans who believe that a government shutdown would be a good idea. And I think that you will see electoral repercussions when people decide which party is more at fault.
Well, we're talking right now to Tim Dale, assistant professor of political science at UW La Crosse, as we talk about a potential government shutdown. And we're wondering what you think. Do you agree with Mike that the government is not doing much for you and you're ready, to give him a break? Or what do you think? Give us a call.
You can join us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Do you want to see a shutdown or not? Who would you blame for it if it happens, if it's shut down by tomorrow? 800-642-1234 or send an email, talk@WPR.org. This is Central Time here on the Ideas Network. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. We're talking with Tim Dale now, assistant professor of political science at UW La Crosse, talking about the looming threat of a potential government shutdown tonight at midnight.
And you can join in at 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. Are you worried about a shutdown? Looking forward to it? Sick of being here time after time. 800-642-1234 or send an email, talk@WPR.org.
And let's go right to the phones. We have Mark joining us from Madison. Hi, Mark.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call, first of all. And I just wanted to feed off that last caller. I mean, I think he hit it on the nose. You know, I think your guest and, what he basically was saying was, who's paying the price? I mean, you've got a guy that just, called and blamed 80% of the problem on the Republicans, but at the same time was saying shut it down because, I'm paying my taxes. And I also found it interesting that he's an outdoorsman with a gun, blaming 80% of the problem on the Republican, the GOP side of this conflict. And who's paying the price? He's frustrated. I'm frustrated. It's a classic, you know, argument. You know, we're all sick of the bickering. You know, who's going to win here? Are constituents going to win?
Mm-hmm.
Is the left going to win? Is the right going to win? Who's going to win here? I mean, how do we resolve it? I'm hearing the argument and the debate, but I'm not hearing about, there's fallout coming from this on both sides of the party.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your thoughts, Mark. Appreciate it. And what do you make of that, Tim?
Well, I think the caller raises some important questions about that ultimately cut to the heart of how we elect representatives to Congress. So one of the things that we see all the time when we look at approval ratings for Congress is even when they're at the all-time low that they are right now, people's approval rating for their own representatives in Congress remains fairly high. So even as people blame all of Congress for, in this case, a potential government shutdown, they tend to be cheering on their own representatives. And so the representatives who are in Congress right now who are advocating for a government shutdown as a response to the Affordable Care Act are being supported by their districts who elected them. We don't have a national election for Congress. And so I think that what's interesting is we end up with very, very frustrated at government, but then our own representatives don't necessarily have that impact at the polls. And I think it takes making representatives accountable at the polls that would see some sort of change. But we really see that not being the case in this time, at least not yet.
And, Tim, if we shut it down, we've got to start it up again somehow. So, I mean, what do you think about how we proceed after a shutdown, should it happen?
Well, that's what's interesting, is that obviously this is not going to be solved unless one or both sides compromise. And to this point, we have not seen that compromise. The problem with it going all the way to the final hour or even beyond the final hour where we see a government shutdown is that the line in the sand means that if a party gives in or a group of representatives gives in, it will be effectively a political loss. And so then the question would be, why did you not do that before the government shutdown, or why did you not do that a week ago? So unfortunately, the longer that this takes, the more there are going to be political repercussions, even as we're talking about these big national repercussions to all of us for a government shutdown.
From a party perspective, does it make sense at this point to compromise, kind of like the people who bid a dollar on The Price is Right?
Yeah, well, that's a good analogy, maybe. The problem, I think, is that it depends on who you ask. So I think a typical case here is a representative from Western North Carolina named Mark Meadows, and he is actually the author, or some say he's the author, of this government shutdown to stop the Affordable Care Act. He was only elected last fall. And when he wrote a letter to the congressional leadership or his House leadership and said, we need to tie Affordable Care Act to the budget, his argument is that I am responsible for the people in my district, and I'm responsible for doing what they told me to do, which is stop the Affordable Care Act at any cost. But the problem with that, and where he's even encountered resistance at first from the House leadership, is that they have a broader view of the popularity of the Republican Party. And so while you may see winners in the government shutdown politically, it certainly won't be the case that the Republican Party or either party is going to be winners unless they can emerge being the ones who saved the government shutdown from whatever imminent deadline we're seeing now.
All right. Well, let's go to Joe next. Joe is with us from Stevens Point. Hi, Joe.
Yeah, hi.
What do you think?
I've been listening to the conversation, and I kind of just want to make an interesting point. I was listening to Mike's comment about how, you know, he thinks how, oh, the government doesn't give me any money. And I you talked about federal roads, and I think what's interesting to note more than anything is that not only is it federal money given to federal projects, but there's so much federal money that's tied up in block grants, that's tied up in specific grants, and, you know, some of that money's still going to go out, but there's going to be a good portion of that money that's going to suffer, especially if the government gets shut down in the long run, and that's where you're going to see people getting pinched. And, you know, you think about congressmen, and especially the representatives, you know, they're representing portions of states, and in a sense, it's probably the states that are going to suffer the most, and I think that mindset isn't really seen in the general population. You know, I'm a little bit more politically minded, and I kind of see it as a little sad. People don't look outside of their own constituency. They kind of just blanket state everything as like, oh, it doesn't affect me, and it's evil and bad. And that's kind of a negative thing, and I'm kind of wish people would, you know, change that opinion. That's all I really got.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, Joe. Thanks for your thoughts there. And Tim's slightly different perspective there.
It is. And I think based on the caller's comments, one of the interesting things to think about is how particular states or how particular grant programs might be perceived by different constituents who are going to feel the pain. But I think that what Republicans are hoping is that when people feel that pain, they are going to blame that pain on Obama. And I, as we talked about in the last segment, it really is a gamble that that is going to happen, because if people feel more suffering as a result of this gamble than they would or they expect that they would under the Affordable Care Act, then Republicans really are playing with fire and how it's going to be perceived once the dust settles. But that's really a question that we're not going to be able to answer until at least the midterm elections that are going to happen next year.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, are people fatigued by this or are they ticked off? From what we're hearing today, I'm hearing ticked off. What do you think? What is your read of the waters right now?
Yeah, I think it's a combination between anger and fatigue. And in fact, if we weren't talking about an imminent government shutdown, I think a lot of people might be more tuned out than they are. So their direct lives or their lives are going to be affected much more directly with a government shutdown than they might just over your run-of-the-mill Washington, D.C. Infighting. But I think that it is going to be interesting to see how people respond, if there is a response to Republicans in Congress to sign on to the compromise. Because, of course, as your last caller pointed out, the last two callers, a government shutdown has an effect far beyond Obamacare. And as we mentioned in the last segment as well, it probably wouldn't even have an effect on that, of all things. So it really is going to probably take electoral pressure from constituents and from voters to get Congress to do anything different.
All right. Well, be watching tonight. Tim, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
We've been talking to Tim Dale, Assistant Professor of Political Science at UW La Crosse.